Hello and welcome to the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. It's just Tank and me, David, today, so let's get started.
This week I read an article titled, Why We Need to Talk About Burnout in the Tech Industry. And so I thought, oh, if this article makes a compelling argument, then maybe we should talk about burnout on the podcast, because this is also a tech podcast. And if we need to talk about burnout in the tech industry, then we need to talk about burnout on the tech podcast.
Yeah, I mean, the real question is, to whom did the we in the article heading refer? Because if the article is correct and we're included in we, then we have to. We need to.
Mm. Yep, that's a good point. Probably we was anybody reading the article, reading the article headline because they want clicks. But we should title our podcast episode that too, and maybe we'll get clicks.
clicks on clicks.
Yeah, so I guess the most compelling part of that article, the thing that made me think, yeah, we should talk about burnout. It says there was a survey done over 100,000 employees from all sorts of tech companies, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Uber, Facebook, and it had a simple question, yes or no, said, are you currently suffering from job burnout? And the result was over half the respondents, 57%, answered yes. So that is quite a bit of people experiencing job burnout. And something interesting, after our last episode talking about Netflix and how terrible of a company it was, Netflix had the lowest employee burnout of all of the companies, and it was at 39%.
Hmm.
So they're terrified of getting fired, maybe because they enjoy their job as opposed to, it's like everyone's getting fired. Well, we're not burned out. Maybe it's just people don't last long enough to get burned out.
There it is.
But as this article says, if the best company in the survey had a 40% burnout in the workforce, then the tech industry might have a problem. And of course, it doesn't talk about, you know, does the medical industry have a burnout problem too? Is this just a human problem or is it a tech problem?
Hmm. But it's a good point.
And I think, you know, I feel like burnout is a key word in ministry related jobs. Being around Christians all my life, I feel like I hear ministers always talking about how they can avoid burnout as pastors, et cetera. So
that is actually exactly the first place that I heard it was people talking about, oh, is our pastor burnt out? Is our pastor in danger of being burnt out? I had never really heard it. I mean, this was at a fairly young age, but that was my first exposure to the word.
Mm, yeah, me too. Yeah. What do you think, you know, before we get into talking about burnout, you made a good point when we were just talking beforehand that that burnout is a very broad word, especially if we're thinking we're using it in the tech industry, we're using it in the ministry area. There's a lot of areas that we could say the word burnt out, maybe like cars and buildings, whenever they get destroyed, they're also burnt out. So yeah. So what do you think? What do you think it means when we're talking about burnout?
So we discussed this a little bit in the, is it pound sign or hashtag on Slack?
Hashtag.
In the hashtag up next channel. Which is not a default channel. So if you're a listener and you're a member of the Slack, you should go check out some of the channels that we have. One of them is Up Next, where we talk about things that we're going to be talking about on the show before we talk about them on the show. And then after we talk about them on the show, they get shuffled off to episode discussion. We have like a Kanban of discussion. But listener David Latchett posted a link to the Mayo Clinic, which I thought was really helpful. It had some questions, ask yourself these things to see if you are burnt out. I thought that it was funny, though, on the Mayo Clinic that at the top of the article it says that burnout is not a medical diagnosis, and yet here we are on the Mayo Clinic looking at symptoms. But some of these I thought made a lot of sense, being cynical or critical. feeling like you have to drag yourself to work, having trouble getting started, irritability, low energy, difficult to be consistently productive, hard to concentrate, lack of satisfaction, using food, drugs, or alcohol to feel better or to not feel. And some of these don't make a lot of sense, like have your sleeping habits change. Well, there can be any number of causes. I mean, there can be any number of causes for a lot of these. But as I was reading through this list, I kind of was like, oh, I guess this is something that I kind of have a little bit of. Like, I wouldn't say that I have a severe case of it, but I was like, gee, like this makes sense. This applies to me in some ways. So if assuming that you agree with the symptoms listed here and that we can move forward with that, I guess, definition or description of burnout, is this something that you have or have had or have experience with?
So yeah, as I've thought about this and just thought about the jobs I've had throughout the course of my life and the experiences I've felt throughout the course of my life, I definitely say I've felt this. And interestingly, on that Mayo Clinic description of burnout, I guess, not really article, it says, some research suggests that many people who experience symptoms of job burnout don't believe their jobs are the main cause. I thought that was really interesting because I can look back on the three main jobs I've had out of college, two programming jobs and one missionary job. And I feel like a lot of the times where I've felt burnout, you know, one of them was from my job where I was going into work and I wasn't given anything to work on. And I just sit there and stare at the computer screen all day. It's really boring to sit there for 8 hours and do nothing. And that's kind of what I was doing in my first job for the first 6 months. And I was like, I've had it. I'm out of here. This is terrible. Ended up staying there 3 years. But other than that experience, most of the times I'm feeling burnt out at work, typically, as like that said, I don't feel like it's really the work's fault. It's just I'm almost feeling burnt out in life. Like I don't feel like I go home and I feel the same way as opposed to just go to work. Oh, I hate this work. And then going home and then, okay, life's good again. It's just kind of a slogging through life as opposed to just work. But maybe that's different for other people.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're trying to diagnose where these symptoms are coming from, I guess the simple test is to just ask, like, what do you dread most? Like, what is the thing that when it happens, like maybe you're not even dreading it, looking forward to it, but like when this part of your life, hits you, where are you like thinking, oh gosh, I can't wait for this to be over. Interestingly, it's funny that a lot of people don't think that it's because of their job, because I don't think that it's because of my job. I guess I should explain a little bit here. The job that I have right now is a work from home job, and I'm expected to provide my own computer. And I have just, since starting this job, had more computer problems than I have ever had throughout like the course of all of my life. And I'm also in this weird state right now where I am between Windows and Mac, kind of straddling the fence with a PC that is sort of running as a Hackintosh because I need certain things from macOS and certain things from Windows, and I don't have the money to have both. And anyway, so all of these system instability issues, and my wife and I have just been sick for the last like 3 months. And I wouldn't say that I've been suffering from burnout or anything for a long time, but just looking at it, like maybe the last few weeks, I've just been feeling really overwhelmed by it's not work. Like I don't mind doing work, but it has these feelings have made it hard to concentrate and be productive. Just because I feel like, I don't know, it feels like treading water, you know? But this is interesting that this is a thing that affects a lot of people in the tech space. Let's assume for the sake of discussion that it is specific, maybe not just to the tech space, but that tech is above average. Like statistically noticeably above average in terms of burnout. Do you think there might be clear causes for that, just thinking about what the tech industry is?
Yeah, I guess one thing I was thinking about as the cause of burnout, and I know this isn't always fair, and not always, I mean, you got to look at it as a case by case basis. But as I was looking at some of the examples in my life, and probably, broadly, maybe it makes sense, is just thinking like, when I'm feeling these kind of attitudes about my work and what I'm doing in life, a lot of times it's because I'm lacking a purpose. Like I feel like I haven't, I don't know. It's not like consciously that I'm thinking about this, but more looking back, I describe it like there's my meaning to life and I'm not pursuing that meaning. It feels purposeless and I'm just kind of going through. And that's a big part of my testimony, why I became a Christian. And it's also why I feel like whenever I go to video games a lot, that's usually a bad sign, because video games have always given me a feeling of accomplishment. Like, yeah, I play those 30-hour long RPGs where I save the world and beat the last boss. And for whatever reason, that makes me feel like I accomplished something today. I saved the whole world and beat like a thing that can destroy planets on his normal attack move. That's Sephiroth. I don't know if you know that, but
no idea. Okay. I was never that into Pokemon.
Well, some listener out there is like, yeah, Sephiroth. Sephiroth's not a Pokemon.
I know that, know that. That was an XKCD okay, cool. reference.
So many references. So anyway, that I may be getting too deep for the real case, but if I take my experience and apply it to the tech industry, which is probably unfair, but I'm going to do it anyway. you know, tech is an exciting world. Tech is where like we're making so many advances, and like so much hope for the future comes from tech. You know, like we've got cars that can drive themselves and other things. That's the best example I could come up with. You know, things that are curing awesome bad diseases. Awesome things curing bad diseases. And I just think there's so much hope in the tech world that disillusionment can come quickly. And I think if we don't, for me and probably for a lot of people, if we're not walking with purpose, and I think, you know, I think to Jesus that Jesus, you know, it would be fair to say he never experienced burnout. He was tired. He worked hard, but you know, he said, I only do the things that I see the Father doing, or the only that do the things that the Father tells me to do. And so every single thing he did with purpose. He did knowing why he was doing it. And so I think exhaustion is different from disillusionment. And when we start doing things like, I shouldn't be doing this, I shouldn't have to be fixing my computer, perhaps. And for me, I shouldn't be sitting here staring at a screen doing nothing for 8 hours. I think that can cause to a lot of these feelings pretty quickly. And so maybe the tech world has people who have high hopes and then are getting disillusioned with their, turns out to be lame jobs, or just jobs that they thought they're basically treated as functional saviors and didn't make their life amazing after all. There's my theory.
Yeah. I like that. I think the more that I've been just, I have these burnout symptoms in giant font on one of my monitors right now, and I've just been like marinating in them, in the words. And I'm just realizing that this term may be too broad to actually be helpful. And because if you were to take any grouping of three things from this list, you might come up with a medical diagnosis that is completely different from a grouping of three other things. So, you know, if you were to take food, drugs, and alcohol, and sleep habits, and lack of energy, like your problem could be alcoholism. Like, technically here, it doesn't have to be burnout. And so, I don't know. It may be a helpful term to just summarize something that we're experiencing, but it may be that the collective that the experiences that we're all having are so different that lumping them in together is almost unhelpful because if we were to try to point to a cause for all of these things, that's just painting with too broad a brush, I think.
I have to say, like, sin, the fall.
Well,
that's the cause of all of these things. Any problem?
Well, sure. But I mean, you could also say that that's why my car is broken down, but that doesn't like help you fix the car.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah. Our sponsor this week is Missionalware, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missionalware prints apparel, drinkware, and accessories with beautiful artwork of historical creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers. Whether you are a Credo Baptist or a Pado Baptist, you cannot deny that a baby with a John Calvin onesie is irresistibly adorable. So did you know that Missionalware makes onesies and toddler tees? Even if you don't have kids, perhaps you're looking for the perfect gift for a friend's teething Protestant. To grab some Reformed children's clothing, an adult-sized hoodie, or even just to browse their great designs, check them out at missionalware.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. Thanks to Missionalware for sponsoring Tech Reformation. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think a lot of the burnout that I'm having, I was just thinking, is related to, I mean, like at this job, this is the first job I've had where I'm not just immediately handed things that are on fire and I'm expected to like schedule and maintain. I think I've mentioned that on another episode here, but I'm expected to like maintain my own schedule and just handle a variety of projects that may be due between a week from now and 3 months from now. And right now with all the things going on between being sick and computer issues and all of that, I just feel like I don't have a handle on what's expected of me. Like I don't feel like all of my things that I need to do are in one place. And when I sit down to go, what am I going to do now? Whether it's at work or at home, I feel like I'm just in this state of like, I have all these things that I could do and should be doing, but I don't know which one I should be like is most effective to do now. And I think that's why I have this treading water feeling. And I know that part of the solution to that for me is ultimately going to be to spend like half an hour with OmniFocus, just plugging things in and getting it all out of my head and into a thing. I know I often feel a lot better after that. So is that burnout? I don't know. Maybe it's just being overwhelmed with, it's not that I have too much to do necessarily, although being sick and having computer issues often makes an appropriate amount of work into something that is too much because, you know, I've just lost a day being sick and an hour, you know, in my BIOS or whatever. Anyway.
Are you feeling better now, by the way? Are you still in the middle of it?
No, it's been really crazy. My wife now has a viral upper respiratory infection that she's just now starting to get over. She still has the cough, but we're pretty sure she's not contagious anymore. And it's just been, on and off, one or both of us being sick for the last 3 months. I think we're done after this, but I've thought that before, so who knows?
Yeah, that's rough.
It's actually been that way for, I don't know if it's been that way for the whole country, but like our whole city, people have just been dropping like flies. So, but it's not burnout. It's the flu.
Just sickness. Yeah.
Because if you were to pick lacking energy, sleep habits changing, and let's see here, having to drag yourself to work and having trouble getting started, those three symptoms, that's the flu. Oh, and unexplained headaches, stomach or bowel problems, or other physical complaints. There you go, four.
Nice. I was thinking lack of concentration or find it hard to concentrate.
Yeah, there you go.
Almost all of these describe the flu. We have explained burnout.
It's just the flu. which should make the tech industry happy because that's technically a virus.
Nice. Need the antivirus systems to get better.
But I do think that you are right that maybe not all of this, but a lot of this can be spiritual. And before, or at least at the same time as we ask the questions, oh, could this be because I have too much going on at work? I mean, if we go to the Up Next channel, people have talked about, I think Brian was talking about commute being a big contributing factor.
That's Brad.
Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah, before we, bef- not, I keep saying before, I think before in order of priority, but not necessarily chronologically. Before we start diving into how can we fix this practically, there should be this question of, well, you know, is there anything spiritual going on? Am I trusting God with my job or with these things that are stressful? I think both of those questions need to be asked. And ultimately, you can fix everything practical. But if you are trusting yourself or your coworkers instead of trusting in God, or, you know, trusting in anything but God, it can't ultimately be solved.
Yeah, I was thinking as well, like priorities of, you know, what's most important. And, you know, Brad's gets into that with his commute that he was expressing just like a work-life balance that he wanted to have more time with his family, and the commute was maybe at first he wasn't counting his commute as work time that was taking over his life, but eventually he decided to count that as time away from his family, which he felt like was leading to the burnout, as far as I've understood what he wrote, right? And so, yeah, just thinking like, it may not just be, you know, a faith thing that internally needs to change, as far as what am I believing? Am I believing lies or truth? But also, what are my priorities? And have I put so much priority into this one thing that maybe it just doesn't even need to be a part of my life at all, so that I have more room for the things that actually do matter? If we're feeling like overworked or overstressed, there may be you know, just too many mental loads that we've decided to take on ourselves, too many roles. And we can realize, you know, I'm not able to hold up all these things. And what are the things that God has actually called me to focus on, to glorify him? And then, you know, separating the good from the bad. And so that's a practical spiritual step, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think another, I guess, practical step that's sort of related to what you were just saying comes from David Latchett on the Slack. He essentially pointed out, I'm trying to summarize what he wrote here, but one of the things that he pointed out was making sure that the times of crazy are confined to the set times that you have for them. You know, if you're a college student and you're deciding that you're going to take, you know, 21 credit hours to finish, that may be a reasonable decision, you know, provided you can still do all the other things that you need to do, like go to church and you know, worship on the Lord's Day and have times of personal devotion, etc. Assuming that you can do all of those things still, it may be okay to throw yourself into an unsustainably crazy season for a semester so that you can graduate in one semester instead of two and save money or whatever. And those are decisions that you have to make. And also just keep in mind in the crazy, like, okay, like having an end in mind, like this will be done in 3 weeks and everything will go back to normal. Seems like it can be practical. And also just making sure that you don't get so used to the crazy that after those 3 weeks are up, you're like, well, now what can I do to keep things completely insane?
Yeah, I thought that was really good. Recognizing in advance that those seasons are coming and then just, yeah, time boxing them, making a plan of attack and then following through with it.
Somebody else mentioned walking, which just going for walks, which has been really helpful for me too. So
during work, do you do that as well?
Yeah, I try to take a couple 15-minute walks a day. It's been less in the winter, but I'm going to try to pick it up again and just bundle up.
Yeah, that makes sense. What do you think as far as like Sabbath goes? Like, I think rest is important, you know, getting sleep and good exercise, which walk would fall into that. But I think anytime we talk about burnout or exhaustion and whatnot, Sabbath is a good recommendation, but there's so many variations of what people mean whenever they say take a Sabbath. What do you think about like how that could help with burnout and how to enact it?
Yeah, This is so you're getting one of only a handful of people, which is to say confessional Presbyterians or Dutch Reformed people who kind of have a different take on this, because in the Old Testament, I would say that Sabbath was not just rest and recreation. Sabbath was specifically a time set aside to worship and honor God. And I would argue that that continues into the new covenant, that God expects one day in seven for us to essentially give to him in the form of worship, or sometimes that can be things like acts of mercy, maybe helping out at your church, or, you know, doing acts of service, that sort of thing. But doing those things for God, essentially. But then that's not to say that the Bible doesn't have any room for also like rest and recreation. Like that's a thing that the Bible would also encourage us to do in moderation. But it is a different thing from taking time deliberately to spend with God. And I would also say that having some sort of time of personal devotions and family worship, depending on, you know, where you are in life, whether family worship is a thing that you can do or not. Those are maybe even more important than recreation, because those are the times when we, and Hebrews talks about this. These are the times when we specifically set aside to literally trust God. Like somebody who takes a whole Sabbath to do acts of service and to worship God and to study the Bible, is saying, I have a lot of other things that I could do, but I am not doing those things. I'm giving this time to you, God, and I'm trusting you to bless that. And any time that we do that, I think it's faith building.
I think a big lie that a lot of people believe, is that binge watching Netflix is more restful and fulfilling than enjoying God, whatever that may look like. And that, you know, like it's so easy to be like, oh, I'm so tired, I'm just going to go, you know, watch Netflix. And I watch Netflix, not saying anything bad about it, as far as it as a thing to do. But I have come to a similar conclusion that you were saying. Like, one day when I was thinking about Sabbath and thinking about, you know, a day of resting, and I can use it to play video games and have maybe a longer quiet time and whatnot. And I'm thinking about myself, I learned that, you know, video games is almost a form of work for me, as I was describing, like it's me accomplishing something. And so me doing almost any productive hobby, like programming I do as a hobby, reading, working on Japanese, things like that. I get this sense of accomplishment and progress. That is not me saying, I trust you, God, with the world. Like, it's almost like, oh, I have this day off now. Now I can finally work on the things that are really important that I really need to get done, like saving the world from Sephiroth, like studying more Japanese so that I can use it for my ministry. You know?
Catching all the Pokemon.
Catching every Pokemon. Yeah. Which I almost did on Pokemon Go before I moved back to America. But really, as really realizing, like, Sabbath is a time for, you know, to be, to build faith in God, to trust God and say, you know, I don't need to make progress on anything because he's got the world in control and I can use this time to enjoy him and to devote myself to him. So whenever I realized that, and decided I want to treat Sabbath more like that, it did seem more worth it and more rest. But of course, bad habits come back, and so I don't treat Sabbath like that anymore. But it's something I've been once again thinking about. So.
Yeah, and I mean, in terms of I think I mentioned this before, but I just want to make sure that I am clear. In terms of recreation, I think there's definitely a time, even from a confessionally reformed perspective, for recreation. I mean, something to keep in mind is that the Bible was written in a context where pretty much when it got dark, you couldn't be productive. Like most people could not be productive for like a good chunk of time that they would still be up, because if you just, you know, if you get up and go to bed when it's light or when it gets dark out, like some of your days are going to be really, really short.
wake up still there. Right. I guess I'll go back to bed.
Yeah. So, and especially here in the Pacific Northwest, that would be completely crazy. You'd have some 4-hour days. That's a slight exaggeration, but it feels like that sometimes. So anyway, all of that to say, like, I mean, the way that I try to structure my life is Monday through Friday, I am, you know, working during work hours. I put in, you know, 8 hours. And then in the evenings, I tend to try to use those for whether it's recreation or getting together with friends or reading or that sort of thing. And then Saturdays tend to be another work day, but not for work, you know, jobby work. For projects that I want to work on, or you know, fixing things around the apartment because I'm a millennial and eat avocados. and then Sunday that day is for God. But that leaves a lot of time. Like you know, my wife and I like to play Nintendo Switch. We like to watch Netflix. One day we'll get hobbies that are outside, I'm sure.
Pokemon Go.
Yeah, we did that. I think we did that once. Now I can't remember.
It's not very fun in America that I've experienced.
Yeah, well, and it's kind of over now.
Yeah. But not for some people.
But yeah, I mean, and how you structure this is gonna differ from person to person, obviously. But finding time for both, I think, is important. And but there is a real spiritual component to taking time, setting that aside for God. And enough time to where it costs you something, if that makes sense. You know, not to where you go bankrupt, but to where it costs you something, to where you can point to like a noticeable, you know, maybe you normally would use this time to get some extra hours in, or maybe you would normally use this time to replace the refrigerator, but the refrigerator went unreplaced because you chose to honor God with your time. You know, it will get replaced eventually. That's the thing about time, is it keeps moving. But there's something to that where that can actually be more relaxing than using all of your time to accomplish things or have recreation, because we're giving that time to God and trusting that he will, like with all of our time, that he will bless it. But again, like we can talk about all of these spiritual things. There are also real physical things like, you know, you're working too many hours and you need to stop. Mm-hmm. You know, there are multiple sides to this coin. And I think it's a very human thing to do, to want to oversimplify.
What do you mean?
Well, to make it either just the spiritual or just the practical. And I think that's something that we can bring to this as Christians, is remembering to think about the practical and the, you know, God is a practical God who made a world that functions in a certain way, and we need to honor him by working within those bounds and using our minds to think of things that, you know, the minds that he gave us. And then the other side of it being the spiritual. We need to make sure that we're also honoring God with our time and trusting him with the time that we aren't giving him directly, if that makes sense.
For sure.
We have said a lot of things for being just the two of us, but we would like to hear more than just the two of us. So if you have thoughts on this, we are very interested in hearing them over on the Slack. You can get to our Slack by going to slack.techreformation.com. If you're not aware somehow in the tech industry, Slack is like a chat room. You can sign up there and check out the episode discussion channel, which you should automatically be in. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Yep, there's also our website, techreformation.com. It's got all of our past episodes on there.
And you can go to our Twitter at techreformation. And I don't think we're actually doing anything actively with that, but, you know, you can make that follower account look better. Accomplish something for us.
Also, to help us out, we'd really appreciate a rate and review on iTunes and whatever else you can rate and review people on.
Yeah, star on Overcast. I don't think we've asked for that in a while. So, yeah, people should get on that. We don't ask often.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate it.
This has been the Tech Reformation. Thank you for listening, and we will be podcasting again next week. And I ain't looking back. No, no.
you back.